The numbers told the story, they always do.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy. Kelly, oh. You've been quiet today. I know. There's been guests.
I'm just watching Jordan Walker highlights back here.
Are you 6 foot six, Jordan Walker?
Yeah,
by the way, we did get a tweet. I sort of failed on the Jason segment. Trip Tepper reminds me. He goes, can we get a gambling compound update from Jason? He referenced it a while ago on your show. It was rumored to be close to the Arizona-Nevada border. Jason's idea was to set up a compound of gamblers right there on the border so that we could, bet stuff we want to bet.
Yeah, well, I didn't know he had that idea. Sorry, Jason. We turned it into a food truck.
It's old compound.
And then Radio Row.
Yes. We did the Radio Row stuff. Yeah, that's true. We sort of stole it a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Thursday, hour number two. You know what that means. Unscripted with the Craig Man. Bill Krackenberger. Billy.
I don't like you off.
I don't like you off.
You were like the last 2 weeks, were you like vacationing, cruises and stuff? Or
I was vacationing. It wasn't a cruise involved, but we were vacationing. Oh. Have you been to Turks before, Turks and Caicos?
No. I've been to the Bahamas.
That's beautiful, too.
And a couple of those, like Dominican Republic and Curacao, Antigua,
you've been
Panama.
Everywhere.
No, like they were back when I was writing. I was writing gaming articles back in late 90s, early 2000s, I would go to those places every
Bahamas
year.
There's like a Caesar shop there in the Atlantis, right? In Bahamas? Or Bahamas?
Yes,
or
it was William Hill, and now it's Caesar. I guess the Caesar's brand.
Turks, yeah. We were joking, me and fashion stylist Deborah Song, we were crashing the Felica family vacation. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, that may or may not have been the running joke between me and Parles here.
Yeah. So
Felica, we're getting ready to go snorkeling, and Gil's like,
can I come in? Can I come in the water with you guys?
Chris on Fox now, right?
Yes, he is.
Wow, good for him.
Yes, he is.
That'd be a great move for him. Is he on the like on the weekends, or is it going to be football season?
He
has to be like their main guy for college football.
He's going to do their college football, Saturday deal like he did at ESPN. He's going to be part of that whole broadcast.
Great.
And he's going to do a whole bunch of betting stuff as well.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Good move for him.
Oh, I'm so happy for him.
Listen, I said before this segment with you or this hour with you today, I was like, hey, usually we're completely unscripted. Today we're actually three quarters unscripted because you had a tweet earlier.
Yeah.
And you have brought up this gentleman, I want to say once before.
Yeah.
But this is at Bill Crackman with a K, RIP to the best coin flipper in the world.
Yeah.
The things I seen this man do with coins.
108,000 views. Yeah.
108,000 views.
He
would tell you to.
No, I never. Look at that photo. I found it on my phone. Never even knew it was there.
Oh, wow.
And he's actually, in his hand, he's holding a heart. Like, he's shaped like a heart.
Yeah, he is.
Upside down heart.
Let me finish reading your tweet.
So, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. He said he would tell you to use your own coins and flip them. He won millions of dollars flipping people. Laying 6-5 or even more, he smashed so many people, including some of the sharpest in sports.
He actually won tens of millions. That's wrong. Tens of millions.
Okay. First of all, do we want to tell the gentleman's name or do we not want
to?
No. Okay.
I'd rather not.
Okay.
You know what I mean? He passed and let him rest in peace. And
Did he?
I never talked about him in public because, I only brought him up on the show when I didn't hear from him for a year.
Yeah.
And his phone number changed. And this is a guy that used to call me all the time. I thought he might have passed then.
Yeah.
But I knew his son and I was like, wow, I can't believe his son didn't call me or find my number or something. Because, me and his dad would have conversations for hours. He's one of those guys that you have conversations. You look at your phone and you say, this can't be an hour. I haven't done this since high school. So especially now, this time in my life, you're looking down. I mean, honestly, the only conversations in my life, believe it or not, you'll be shocked. Andrew Dice Clay, who I'm friends with. Andrew Dice Clay, I would look down at my phone and I'm like, Andrew, 3 hours. I haven't done this since 10th grade when I was trying to bang abroad. I said, this is 3 hours, Andrew. I know. We're going to finish. Like, I know. I said,
we're going to have to work on your phrasing on some things here.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right.
No, but I mean, literally, though, that's that I've only, it was with Flipper, I would have an hour conversation.
Is that what you called him?
Flipper. Yeah.
Flipper.
Yep.
Okay. So let me just clarify because it's funny, when I brought it up earlier on the show, Kelly's immediate response was, because we had all watched the Last Dance documentary, the Michael Jordan 10-part series during the pandemic, and there was a guy in the Bulls locker room who would flip, they would flip stuff against the wall kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's not what we're referring to.
No.
We're referring to explain.
Yeah, this guy was undercover. He didn't want him to be known, so I never mentioned him on air because, honestly, he's looking, going around casinos, maybe look for some high rollers that want to, you know, flip coins and gamble versus him, and, you know, he'll give you 6-5.
Okay, so this is just heads, tails?
Heads, tails.
That's it.
Heads, tails on your coins, not his coins.
So he didn't have trick coins.
By the way, you flip the coin.
Oh, I flip
the coin. You can flip it. I'll flip it. He would flip it too, but you flip it.
The coins out of my pocket.
Your pocket.
I would flip them.
Correct.
And he would call heads or tails.
Correct.
And he won tens of millions of dollars.
Tens of millions. Yeah. I watched him win. Literally, he won 2 Cadillacs from a car dealership. A guy owned 11 car dealerships.
Cadillacs.
He was a gambler.
Yeah.
And the last one he did that I knew of, I watched him do one, but the other one was he laid $100,000 to a $55,000 Cadillac. Put $100,000 up, $55,000 Cadillac, and flip it up and won.
Were people losing their minds when this would happen?
Losing their minds. And you know what? At the end, the last 5 years, when I knew him, he couldn't do it at nighttime. He was only a daytime guy. But he used to be able to do it at nighttime. Couldn't do it at nighttime no more. So there was something.
Okay, so
there's access of the coin. There was something. He couldn't do it at nighttime no more.
Okay, so the answer to the question of what was he doing, you say we'd never found out.
No, he went to the grave with it.
He went to the grave with it.
Yeah, and his son called me last night because of that tweet. He found my number, and he called me. He said someone in California seen the tweet, and called him, and he called me.
What would he do? Would he roam the country doing this or just here in Vegas?
Roam the world. The world. He won money overseas in England. And stuff. I mean, you know, anywhere there was gambling people.
What is your speculation? So if he could only do it at daytime and not nighttime by the end, was he eyeing the coin beforehand?
Listen,
he could tell the spin rate.
It sounds like maybe there was like a certain amount of glare that comes off the head.
That's what I always thought. See, Kelly said that would be my hypothesis.
It's got to be something like that.
But
wait. Hold on. Glare?
I'm just saying, if he had to do it during the day and not at night.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe the sun's hitting the
And there's
going to
be people at home saying, oh, BS. And maybe him saying in the last 5 years he couldn't do it was also part of the gaffe. Was also part of it.
Oh, like he was
maybe,
just playing?
I don't know. I really don't know. He never would tell you because that would ruin, if other people started doing it, would ruin his urn. You know, like he took me to the jewelry district in L.A. one time because I had a couple watches. I lived down at the Golden Nugget. And I don't know why. Tillman Fertitta, who now is a big name, wasn't a name back then. He just bought the Golden Nugget, but no one knew who he was in the first year. I knew him pretty good. I was actually with him on his private jet. And he actually took me to a restaurant in Houston, he put me on the floor 2 seats away from Shaq. I remember that. And Pat Riley was right in front of me. Literally, I could have tripped him. I guess that was the Heat was playing
I
could have tripped him.
Why
I thought about
didn't
that.
You, Bill?
Pat Riley. I thought
you had the opportunity.
There wasn't even iPhones at the time. I had a flip phone. Like, look at this. Pat Riley right in front of me. Pretty cool. But Tillman gave me a half price at the watch store. I brought him a lot of customers. So the watch, they had a beautiful watch store. I remember buying a couple watches. I spent $12,000, $9,000 on one, $3,000 on the other. But I never wore them. I'm not a fancy watch guy. It's just not me. I just don't wear them. So Flipper was in the jewelry business, too. He would invest all of his money, a lot of money, in diamonds. He had a bag of diamonds one time. I said, oh, my God, you're going to get us killed. And you know, they'll kill you for $30. Like, never mind, you know, millions in diamonds. So he said to me, he was very well-spoken. Let's take your watches. You want to get rid of them. Everyone's going to rob you in town here. Let me take them. And we'll go, if you want to go to L.A. I said, yeah, I'll go to L.A. It was in the summertime. It was off-peak time. I never expected that. I didn't even know there was a jewelry district in L.A. We go downtown, and we go inside some buildings with all different vendors, and the waters parted. Everyone knew them. Like, I was like, wow, I can't believe it. I thought you were in the flipping business. You're legitimately in the gold and diamond business and watch business.
Well, so 2 things.
Yeah.
One, I also never wear a watch.
Yeah,
another thing you and me have in common. Two, couple tells. You said he was well-spoken and that the seas parted for him in the Diamond District.
Yes.
I'm going to guess that he was a tribesman like myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep, absolutely, 100%. As a matter of fact, his son, I'll give his son Seth called me last night and was like, Bill, my dad loved you. He almost broke me down. I was like, oh my God, Seth, I'm so sorry. Like, I was so glad you called me. He's like, my dad only liked 7 or 8 guys that he really liked. And but he had some situations, and later in life he got very sick. He had open heart surgery, and that changed his life. Seth told me that was bad for him, very very bad. Open heart. And my dad had triple bypass. I know, so it does change you physically and mentally. Mm. It's very very. It's a very depressing thing.
I'm
after.
Sure.
So
would he have been a? I think I know the answer to this.
Sure.
Would he have come on a show like this?
Probably no.
That's
because he didn't
thinking.
Want no one knowing anything that he did. But you know, I always used to tell him. I said, "Flip, I can't get you any marks. They're my friends. I know a lot of yes, I do know a lot of big people, but I wouldn't do that. It's not what I do. I don't set my friends.
So,
I don't set people
so
up.
So by use of marks,
yeah,
he could do
word.
This. He could do this with some people and not with others.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like Oz reading me mentally, Kelly.
Right.
And not you. He's like, I can tell every one of your thoughts, Gil, but Kelly's a steel trap.
Steel trap up here.
But, you know, going back to the L.A., so the seas parted, all these jewelers, and had to be a dozen that knew him, came right to his shop. I'm sorry, like to their shops. And yet, in the end, he said, you know what? No, you're not bringing these watches here. He said, listen, they're not giving you enough. He took them home. I let him take the watches. And he got 3,000 more than they were offering him, even in the Diamond District, 5,000 more than Vegas. And I said, listen, take 2,000 for yourself. He wouldn't take it. He wouldn't take the money. So it's just a good money, a good guy. I mean, a mensch, I was going to say, a mensch, you know.
A mensch. A
good guy.
R.I.P.
Yeah. We'll talk about him more when we get back, though, because I have a couple more things to say about him.
R.I.P. Flipper. More with Crackman Unscripted on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, Skill Alexander, live from the Southpaw Hotel Casino, tip of the strip. Michael Gaughan's palace right here in the desert. Kelly Bidlin here, and of course, Unscripted with the Crackman, Bill Krakenberger. We're talking about the greatest coin flipper who ever was who passed away. And I don't want to belabor it, but I do, you know, I started to talk to you off air about this, but I stopped because I wanted to do it on air, which is the amazing thing about stories like this to me is, and again, we're talking about a guy who won tens of millions of dollars, in case you're just tuning in. A guy who won tens of millions of dollars calling heads or tails on coins that you had out of your pocket and you flipped yourself. Now, I consider myself, Bill, a fairly intelligent human being. Fairly. But my roommate in college, Carl Hollingsworth, also my best friend in high school, he used to say to me, he goes, Gil, you're like this. And he put one hand out here and he'd separate with the other. He goes, you know all this stuff above this hand like nobody else. You also know all the basics to get through in life, but there's this gap in the middle, man, he would say to me. And so what I mean by that is, if I watched him flip those coins,
right,
in a million years, I would never be able to figure it out. I don't think I would.
Yeah.
In the same way that if I'm the dude who goes to, like, David Copperfield.
Yes.
Where he, like, you know, this is the most basic one, where he cuts the woman in half. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know what he did.
Right.
I don't know what's happened.
Yeah.
I'm that dude.
Yeah, no, I talked about, I love stuff like that too, believe it or not. David Blaine, who unbelievably finally has a show somewhere here in Vegas, actually. I watched him 20 years ago on the Atlantic City boardwalk levitate right in front of me. Outside on the boardwalk. It wasn't like it was in his setting on stage where he could fix something or set something. The guy levitated on the boardwalk. Like I thought he was Satan.
Sorcery.
It's like when Oz
Perlman came in here, your buddy,
yep.
and read my mind, and it took me a few weeks to recover.
Yeah, because you're cynical like me.
I'm like,
the guy guessed my PIN. Oz came on my podcast and guessed my bank PIN number, which I've never used my bank card. I'm not a bank card guy. You have to have it, though, to get an account now. But I never use a bank. Even high school, I never had to use my bank card. Carry money. Carry cash.
Let's get Oz back in here.
Yeah, Oz guessed my PIN number. All he did was say, is the first digit odd or even? And he took a minute and he got it. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Sick.
So, listen, you said you had another story about this guy, though.
No, his, like, finale thing was, like, he would say, okay, bring me five coins. So, five quarters, and he says, give me four of them, you hold one. And he says, flip the quarter. I flip the quarter up, put it on my hand. I'm like this. He takes those quarters, shakes them in his hand, comes right next to me, and all five quarters are the same. I mean, just that was the grand finale to like, gamble on. I mean, but He says he actually let me feel his hands one time. He goes, Bill, feel my hands. It's like, what the F? What is that?
Oh, wait.
His hands were like butter, like pure butter. He had the, I was like, oh my God, how do you, what do you, you must put like some, something on your hands every night. I don't want to know what you're doing or something. What is that? His hands were like butter. Like, so now that gave away, he could feel the head or tail. You know what I mean? Like, in that part, if that means anything, I don't know. His hands were like butter.
My first internship in radio was at 4th and H Northeast in D.C. at a little radio station, WOL, which in those days, 4th and H Northeast in the mid-80s was, or late-80s was like a not a place to be. But one of the old jocks that was on the station, Moon Man, I remember his name, he shook my hand. He's like, how you doing? He goes, boy, you ain't never worked a day in your life. That's the first thing you said to me at that age.
They can say that to me now. You know what the telltale sign is? Putting that tweet up, getting 108,000 hits, and some different people, which I don't know who they are, that knew him. So
yeah,
one guy I actually do know, very sharp guy, came in, also a member of the tribe, Abe Basin. Anyone named Abe is going to be a member. Abe said, early 90s, me and a friend lost 10K to this guy. He was standing 150 feet away, and we were flipping the coin and covering it with a waste paper basket before the coin hit the ground. Have no idea what he did, but I knew he was doing. I know he was doing something.
Wait, what was the before, though? Say that again.
I'll read it again. Early 90s, me and a friend lost 10K to this guy. He was standing 150 feet away. We were flipping the coin and covering it with a waste paper basket.
Oh, so there's no possible way.
Right. Covered, yeah. And he was getting it right, and he won 10,000. By the way, Abe, one of the sharpest guys, I put a tweet up. Abe and his friend have been getting the best of things for 50 years when they gamble. By them losing money to the flipper speaks loudly to the extent of the art of his craft. That's what that was a tweet I put up. Because it really did. Like, Abe is getting the best of everything. If Abe's betting something, I want to be on his side. Trust me. So for him to be, he got taken. I didn't even know Abe at the time. I didn't know Flipper at the time. He got taken by him in the 90s. He would go to pool halls. That was a big thing. He would go to pool halls and car dealerships. I don't know why. Not even to win cars.
Oh, that's interesting.
He would go to pool halls, any kind of gambling thing. I'm sure he had maybe some mob guys, you know, that were backing him, you know, letting him work the pool halls. Because, like, if you go to a pool hall in New Jersey or New York or something, you better make, you go to like Lodi or something, you better make sure that you're on the right side of the law, of the real law, not the cops law. But so I'm sure he had a rabbi in those places.
Where does this talent slash skill slash hustle slash whatever you want to call it rank in your lifetime of things you've observed as sort of the incredible rankings?
That's up there. The five coins got me, too, in that time when I flipped the, you know, because he would never try to, never get me, but he had, you know what happened? How I met him was unbelievable. I'm in the Hard Rock, the high limit of the Hard Rock, when it first opened. I'm in the Hard Rock, and he would go up to the high limit in the Hard, by the way, also a great blackjack guy, great blackjack card counter, great, fantastic. He was really, really brilliant, but he went up to the high limit, and he would see different people, things. He said, I thought of you right away to try to get you, try to take you until I found out your name. I found out your name. I researched it with somebody in South Carolina. He knew you right away, and he was my guy there. And that's how we got to be friends, the three of us together.
So did he live in some palatial estate then with all this?
I've never been to his home. I'm sure he lived in a nice house. You know, put his son through a really good school, and this is all on. he was shrewd too with the diamonds. He would buy diamonds, sell diamonds. Literally, one of those diamonds he took to when I was in LA with him. He took up to one of the places and he said, "Give me a price on this. What would you give me for this?" And the guy said, "That's worth at least $275." So he had a $275,000 diamond. This guy won a lot of money. He actually told me a couple stories which I can't repeat, but I know he. He beat some jewelers out of diamonds, even flipping for diamonds. People are gamblers; they are natural souls. Like, come on, a coin flip, and you want to lay me 2-1. But he said he wouldn't lay 2-1 because it would scare the person. But he'd lay you 6-5, and then maybe he'd lay you 7-5 if he, you know. Finally, he actually, the number one flip he ever did was $10,000 he put up versus a can of Coke. That's a true story.
A can of Coke.
I'll end it on that.
Wait. Yeah. Wait, I have one more thing.
Oh, go ahead. You can keep going.
Okay, so you and I, we knew the guys who did the action, the Showtime docuseries Action. So I'm thinking of, like, Luke, the guy who was the director, Luke Corum, right?
Yep.
He did. Before he did Action, he did Delt. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it was the blind guy
yes.
who was dealing, right? And you didn't know he was blind. And
what
then
a great subject
about.
To bring up. Go ahead.
Delt. Okay. So this guy you're talking about, there's probably, like, no footage of him doing anything?
I would say no.
Oh, because
when I researched his name.
I'd text Luke today and I'd be like, you got to do this.
When I researched his name, I actually found a 1985 court case where someone sued him for flipping coins and beating him out of their money. Not 85. Just think about that.
What are the grounds of this lawsuit?
Yeah.
I got hustled.
He hustled me.
I'm an idiot.
There was a court case in 85.
I agreed to bet on a coin flip that I kept losing at.
Right.
Sir, you got to leave this courtroom now.
What a subject, right? What a subject, really. Thinking about it, though. Thinking about, you understand, like, I grew up in Pujols in North Jersey, in New York, in Queens. And you know, I heard of this guy back then. Believe it or not, this is 1990. I heard about this guy. I was never there for that time when he was in there. He came in there and beat a lot of guys in Elizabeth, in West End Billiards in Elizabeth. He beat a lot of guys in there. And that night, I wasn't there. It's just funny that I wasn't there that night. He came in. And here, you know, 12 years later, I would meet him. And literally say, you're the coin flipper. You were in West End Billiards in Elizabeth. That was you. And he said, I've been in every pool hall, up and down the East Coast, up in anywhere there was gambling, all throughout the Midwest. Pool halls were the best because they're gamblers. They're in there playing pool for $5 a set, whatever it may be, and they're natural gamblers. He said that's where he would find his best marks, his best guys that he would. I hate to call them marks. I hate this. It sounds so dirty, but there's no other word.
But
so
marks is what it is in the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I feel
sad. Obviously, he passed away. You know, I feel sad about that. Obviously, for his family. But
wouldn't it have been great if he came in here and talked?
Yes, I'm a little part of me is miffed at you, Bill Krakenberger, for not have bringing him in before. But
well,
that's okay.
You know, he didn't want that. He wanted no publicity. That would make him lose his money, or maybe guys would be mad at him that lost to him.
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe so.
And you know, try
but,
to.
But the part I'm sort of tongue in cheeking with you. But I'm saying the part that I'm a little sad. I'm sad that. It feels like this is one of these legacies that will just fade away into oblivion.
Absolutely agree. It is. It's like the dinosaurs going extinct. Yeah.
There will be no documentation of it. There will
you
be
would
no
think
doc-
here,
documentary.
All these years later, someone would pick up a craft like that, but you know, you would.
He
think.
Took it to his grave.
Yeah.
People are fascinating, man.
Isn't that something?
It's just incredible.
You know how many times I wanted to talk about it, but I couldn't? And then I finally, after he went off the grid, I said, you know, something happened to him. And I said, let me just talk about him. And then find out that he really passed off.
Bill Krakenberger, at Bill Krakman with the K on Twitter. Unscripted, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming back.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets!
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes. So you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. Skill Alexander, Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted with the Crackman, Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, you just sent me a picture. New Year's Eve 13 years ago, free drinks for levitation from the guy on the right. What was this?
We were talking about that during the break about the levitating. That was, we had me and my buddy, one of my best friends in the world, Drew Birch. We won free drinks off a bartender for the entire New Year's Eve because he showed the bartender, who didn't believe him, that he could levitate. And, I mean, we're talking a couple feet, but he's got a little trick thing. Mm-hmm. We drink for free the whole night. It's fantastic.
We get tweets. We get tweets. I'd be in the book. Crane pool. Gil, the demographics of your audience speaks the same language as crack. We gamble. We hang out casinos. We all use those quote-unquote phrases, LOL. Yeah, not on this show. On this show, you can't. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Oh, this is interesting. He said Joe Louis. You remember Joe Louis?
Of course.
Joe Louis could read the label of a 78 record while spinning. Flipper could probably see the coin while spinning. Well, not when he's 150 feet away, he couldn't.
Yeah. No,
but no, Joe Louis, so let me just, for the old school folks, because Kelly, you might not even remember this. So there were 33, 45, 78. 33 was like a full LP, right? Those were 33s. Talking about vinyl albums.
I thought the 78 was a big one. It's not them. 78 was a small one?
Well, the 33 and the 45 was the small one.
45 is a small one. That's right.
But what those numbers refer to are the spin rate. So 78's the fastest. So 78 times in a minute, I guess.
Right.
So Joe Louis could read the label on a 78?
Wow.
You got to be kidding.
You know, it's funny. Joe Louis's house, people don't know this here. I went by this house many times. So Joe Louis, he lived right in back of, there's a Maryland Parkway. There's a mall there. I think it's called Boulevard Mall. I think it's called that. In back of that, Joe Louis lived in a house there. Nice house. 5,000 square foot ranch house. Joe Louis lived in that house. And the house, I went by it a couple times because I read about it in an article. Went by Joe Louis's house. This was the Brown Bomber. This is one of the best heavyweights of all time. You know what I mean? This is a guy who fought for our country, and the government went after him for money in the end. It was disgusting.
Max
Schmeling was a giant thing when he beat Max Schmeling. Hitler was devastated that Schmeling. Schmeling actually paid for Joe Louis's funeral. People don't know that.
Yes, that's true.
Schmeling and Sinatra. So I love boxing history. So let me tell you about this house. So this house he lived in, I pulled outside there, just looked at the house. Before Joe Louis lived in that house, Johnny Carson lived in the house in Vegas. This is back when the Rat Pack was in town here. Carson was on stage a lot with the Rat Pack. Before Carson lived in it, Marilyn Monroe, as a kid, lived in that house in Vegas.
As a kid?
As a kid. So it's an interesting house. I want to take a picture of it one of these days. It's just there, and the area is terrible now. Maryland Parkway. You might as well be in war-torn Iraq. I mean, it's just so bad. Maryland Parkway, and I think it's Maryland Parkway and Twain, that area there. I know where it's at. It's on Desert Inn. Desert Inn and Maryland Parkway. The golf course where...
I get my hair cut right about there.
Really?
Yeah.
You must bring a lot of weapons with you.
I was going to say, I spent a fair amount of time around that.
Yeah. Wow.
Kelly and I hang out there every day.
Oh, okay. But anyway, that house, there's a lot of, by the way, there was no East Side. I have someone that I know, it's 81, he's going to be 82 now. He says, Bill, there was no East Side. The town only went to Decatur. That was it.
Yeah.
And then there was all West Side. I mean, there was no West Side.
There was no West Side.
There was
side,
only
right?
East Side. That's it.
Yeah.
So if you had money, you would live in certain areas, like only a couple areas in town, one of which is on that west side, just over by Palace Station down Rancho. There's Bel Air Estates. There's different – Cher lived there. Ringo Starr lived there. But there's not really many places you can live in town that were okay. That were a nice big palatial houses. Of course, the whole town was safe back then, too. You slept with your door open anywhere in town. So
where do you go now to sort of recapture the old Vegas vibe?
Just the Italian American Club, where we're going tonight. Yeah.
Where we're going tonight.
Yeah, no, I got some buddies in town.
Sean McCollum.
Yeah, he's hanging out there already, Bill.
Sean McCollum getting married there or something?
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah, he's getting married there.
No, it's listen. My 81-year-old buddy has standing reservations there every week. It's like his table. If he doesn't show up, he gives the guy $100. He gives the guy that owns it $100. I have to thank you. You don't even know. I have to thank you, Gil Alexander, for knowing the owner of the Italian American Club. Is that sick? Wait a minute. What? Yes. I have to thank you. I'll tell you why.
Meanwhile, I've never been.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're like, who? Yeah. When?
You're welcome to come tonight. You're welcome.
Bro.
So
Pepperdine's playing. Otherwise, I'd be
there. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we do Action. Gil recommends me to the producers of Action. Did you, Dave
yes.
Check, the showrunner?
Dave
you
Check.
Recommended me.
Dave Check, yeah.
You recommended me to that guy. And how things are, pay it forward. You don't even know. So you recommend me there. I do Action. They interview me. They put me on Action. And next thing I know, I'm at the Cookie Jar Show, which is at Paris, which is a legendary lounge act here in town who's since retired. I got to be really good friends with Cookie. I brought him on the Action show. They loved it. I'm at the show, and the owner of the Italian American Club comes over to me with the owner of the Tuscany Grill on Eastern. Mm-hmm. They both together, they come over to me and said, "Hi, it's nice to meet you. I've seen you on I know you're doing the Action show."
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, this is after the show aired. I actually still go to Cookie Jar's show. And so I got to meet them, and they told me they own the club. Come over sometime, and I'll show you the back room where Frank and Dean and Sammy all eat. You know, like so. I got to be friends with him, and now and you don't even know. I forgot about it. It escaped my mind.
You know. You know what I thought you were going to answer? I thought you were going to say, by the way, Italian American is obviously a great answer too. I thought you were going to say Piero's.
Yeah.
Which also, you, the first time you and I ever met, we went to Piero's.
We did.
And you and the owner, I guess the owner of Piero's, whoever was running at the time, Freddie.
Yeah.
We went upstairs and all those pictures. Whoa, up those there, photos. Oh, my God.
Oh, that Freddie's office and upstairs is much more historical than the Italian American Club
it
to
is.
Me.
Now, to me, too.
Now granted, I went to the Italian American, and it is a back room where the guys used to eat. They used to go in the back door back in the 60s, I understand. But that place is like the holy grail of Vegas. I mean, signed autographs of they have Fat Tony's there on the wall on the rope.
Yeah.
Sending them a card from jail. You know, like there's everyone who the who's who of not only entertainment world, but of course the mob world. It's just unbelievable. There's so many pictures of Tony Spilotro in there, you know, and so many.
I don't know if you even remember this, but he Freddie pointed to a picture. He goes, "Yeah, that's me with Mean Joe Green." I go, "I think
oh,
that's."
Oh no, who was it? Franco?
And I said to him, "I go, I think that's Franco Harris."
Oh, it's Franco.
And he looks at me, and he goes, "Ah,
yeah, that's Freddie." Franco, Franco, Mean Joe. Yeah. Right. And the way he talks,
yeah,
right.
Ah,
so many pictures of him with like, you know, the Mayor Goodman very close to him.
Yeah.
Listen. The who's who of Las Vegas still, it's still the place to be seen amongst the old timers. I thought about this. Matter of fact, you know, I had this kid on my podcast 2 weeks ago. He's got 150,000 Instagram followers. He's got 5 employees. He's 25 years old. Lives in New York. Jack Settleman's his name. He's the CEO of this Snapback, whatever. This kid calls me an old timer. He goes, listen, you old timers know.
Oh, my.
I'm like, you're me?
Oh, my.
It's like, Jack, you calling me an old-timer? You live in Tribeca, right? I got some friends in the Bronx that'll come over and talk to you a little bit about this.
What does he do? He's a CEO of what?
He's a CEO of a company, 25 years old, has 5 employees. He's a nice kid. He called me and John Orlando. He goes, you old-timers know this.
Wow.
Old-timers. But then again, if I think about it,
yeah.
I guess
when you were 25,
our generation, I guess I thought someone that was 50
was 25. I thought we were old timers too.
I guess I did.
Yeah, man.
I just wasn't used to someone saying it to me. But let me just tell you though too. I went to my friend Eddie's here. We went to the Rat Pack show 2 nights ago, right? Went to the Rat Pack show 2 nights ago. I didn't even tell you this yet, Ed. I thought about it, and I did say something. I said, "Listen, and this is all over in 30 years from now." This is all over. There's no one going to Rat Pack shows. There's no one going to. I like oldie shows. I went with my parents. I took Teddy Atlas and his wife. We all went to 2 different oldie shows with like the Shirelles and the Shangri-Las and, you know, the Tokens. It's over. It's over.
Bill, I say this about people in this industry that you and I know and who are friends of ours. And, you know, I don't want to mention their, you know who we're talking about, but like all these bookmakers that we love and adore here at the South Point and beyond, like, this is not going to like this tie to Vegas's old great gloried past is not going to be here forever, and it's a privilege and an honor to be here now for it because it will go.
I never thought about it being a privilege and an honor.
Yeah,
you know I'm a little cynical, and I even told Eddie. I said, you know what, I would take this right now. That's right. I would take being born 40 years earlier and being dead already. That would be fine with me.
That sounds so bad.
Yeah. I wish I was born in 1925, and I'd be dead already. That's fine. It's no big deal.
Perfectly happy.
To see all that time, to see the things that we missed, it was a better time back in the 50s and 60s. It was a struggle, but it was a better time. I just think it had to be a better time. I see where we're going. I see what these kids are doing now, and these kids today have no respect for their elders. And you know, I see it. We live in building. You know, like even where we live. You know, there's no one holds a door. No one says hello. No one's it's all self-centered media, social media kids.
Stupid TikTok.
There, Kelly. Yeah, you know. I don't even, you know. It is what it is.
I'm with you on the whole door thing, that's for sure.
Okay.
We'll wrap it up with the crack man. On the other side, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New an existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, and Bill Krakenberger. Kelly, we have a pro tip.
Yeah, we do.
I knew we'd get a pro tip in before the end of the week.
That's hey, we got one in yesterday.
We did.
That's funny.
Keep Jordan Walker in mind for NL Rookie of the Year. By the way, all of our pro tips are still in VSiN.com. We didn't mention them on the air explicitly after we did a segment on them. But keep Jordan Walker in mind for NL Rookie of the Year. That per Jason Weingarten. He might not start the season with the Cardinals, but has huge upside this season. That's your pro tip for the show. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show. So that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Thanks for all the feedback, everybody, and chiming in. Great tweets. This is Gary Roach. Gil, just curious, do you know, and Bill, this is really for you, do you know if the Flipper ever told his son the secret sauce? And the answer was no.
I would say he might know.
Oh, his son.
Yeah, he might know, maybe he does. But he's a very smart, smart kid. He's highly intellectual, like one of those highly intellectual kids that really was a step above everyone. I could just tell being with him a couple times. I was with him twice. I don't think that's his forte. You know, but I would think he would tell.
But he might know.
I would think that his only son. He would tell. But
hope.
He never said nothing to me, and I actually spoke to him for an hour last night. So,
Steven Vegas on VSiN, there are two types of listeners. One that just wants free picks and one that would be happy to listen to these fascinating stories from Gil and Crack. Absolutely love these stories. Amazing segment. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
That's all about Bill's recollections of the Flipper. Rock on. Great stuff, guys. Was Flipper calling heads or tails while the coin was in the air or before the coin was flipped? I need to know. Thanks.
After it was in the air, when on the way down, when it was actually on my hand, it caught in my hand and turned.
So after it had completed its flight.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, even like when Abe said the garbage cans, wow, that's unbelievable. Thinking about that more, like how, did he call it? I never asked Abe. I should ask him. I know. That was amazing.
3Jack, H3131. Gil, since you can't join Crack for dinner tonight, maybe you can take him to your favorite sushi place. What was the name again?
Oh, people want to know that. I have a text from someone that wants to. Yeah, that's a big thing.
A good one.
So you have a sushi place you won't let people know?
This is how you know that stuff you say like lands with people.
Oh,
because
Dr. Bregman.
I
wants to know.
Did this one time on the show. I mentioned this
come on. You did it one time.
I did it one time, but then you guys kept talking about it.
No. Unfair, okay? You did it one time, but you came in here with this like impassioned, like, oh, man, Kelly, I had the greatest dinner ever.
Oh, I like good sushi.
Night.
I'm going to have to find
yada,
this place.
Yada, yada, yada. And then we're like, I'm like, great, where was it? And he's like, oh, I can't tell you that.
Crack's going to lowjack my car.
No, I'm just going to pay.
Mark Geiger, how dare you whippersnappers call yourselves old guys? Take a look in the race book where 71-year-old yours truly will be one of the kids.
Oh, my man.
Table Max letting us know that Norm Clark, famous.
Look at that.
Norm Clark did a blog post on the Carson Monroe Lewis house a few years back.
And he posted the story. So at table_Max, you can see the former home of Johnny Carson there, the home I'm talking about. There's a story. Yeah. There's a house right there.
And this is Matt Warrior 013. It is a privilege and an honor to listen to you both. Oh, that's very kind.
That
of
was
you.
Like the last thing they said on the Titanic, Matt. I mean, this is a privilege and honor to play with you. I mean,
is this the end?
Whoa, Jesus. Gentlemen, it's been a privilege and honor to play with you tonight.
Yes.
And they walked away and just periled. I'm
ashamed. No, I mean, it's. When you hear about these stories, it really is fascinating because just when you think you've heard it all, right? Just when you think, I've heard that story. Oh, I know that guy. Yeah, oh, no, I've heard about this. This was one of these guys that you didn't really hear about.
No, never. Undercover. Like, was it Steven Vegas? Whoever said it is right there. These fascinating stories about old gambling things. If I think about some, I have some more for next episodes. Oh, my God. I have some sick people I've been around in my life, gambler-wise. Like, things you would never believe. Like people, one comes to mind, a guy he said he could stay up for 4 days. So, like, it was a bet, 96 hours. He's going to stay up for 96 hours just sitting there. If you fall asleep, you lose. And by the way, we're not doing it for less than $10,000. I watched it myself. I actually slept and came back, and he was still there. He had a watcher the whole time.
You got paid $200
an hour. Seriously. The guy paid him the guy paid one of the guys because it was like everyone was so tired at the end. He's like, listen, I'll give you $800 if you just can stay up for 4 hours with him. Just make sure you they were trying to get this money out. By the way, it was the $25,000 bet, but they wouldn't do it for less than 10. Any guy stayed up for 96 hours. I think he died the next day, but he didn't stay up. I have so many crazy stories. That West End Billiards, man. Woof.
Wait, did he speak at all during the 96 hours? Did he exert himself in any way?
And by the way, there was no social media. He couldn't put his face in a phone and read anything.
There was nothing. What was he allowed to do?
What was he doing?
He just stood up.
He could eat, right?
He can eat, and he can go to the bathroom. Yeah. But you know what? Then again, he had a timer in the bathroom. They were timing him. I said, listen, you go to the bathroom, but you got 5 minutes to go.
Just in case you
want to nod off on the bowl.
That's amazing because, you know, last time we had Greg Peterson on last year, he fell asleep while on air with us.
Oh, God.
I was asking him a question about college basketball, and literally I'm like, Greg, did you just fall asleep? That was after because he had one, like, big podcast the night before.
Right,
it's true. It's true.
Wow.
96 hours, four full days.
I don't know. Even John, my partner, John Orlando, he's going to go on this weekend and for 24 hours straight on air. And I said, John, he goes, well, can you come on for an hour session with me? Everyone, he's going to have all different guests, like 24 different guests I get for an hour each time. Stay up for 24 hours straight.
Orlando's doing that?
Yeah, he's doing it this weekend. How much, on his podcast.
You're not a part of that, are you?
I'm just going for an hour and doing it for
you're doing
him.
Your normal hour.
Yeah,
like, you can do the other 23.
Yeah, he's something. It's funny. I talked to Tony Orlando yesterday.
Hi.
The legendary Tony Orlando. God bless him.
Knocked three times.
He did a great show here in October. I seen his show before that, but he did a show here in October. He was so good. He's such a patriot. American flag, honoring the soldiers in the audience. And he's just such a good person. But yesterday I talked to him about, there was an old comedian years ago, Ruth Buzzy. I don't know if you know the name.
Oh, so, dude.
You do?
Ruth Buzzy.
How do you know Ruth Buzzy?
Me and my buddy Tommy, to this day, we die laughing whenever a Ruth Buzzy reference comes up.
Wow.
Because we were little kids when Ruth Buzzy was on every variety show on TV.
I didn't think no one would know that. This is a young
She had
audience.
Red hair.
Yeah, she would hit people with her bag.
Yeah.
And someone sent me a clip of Tony Orlando and Dean Martin at Muhammad Ali's roast, and she was hitting them both with the bag, and they carried her off stage, and it was just a great – she's still alive. She's 90.
I was going to say, is Ruth
She's like 80, 88 years old. She's
still
alive.
I just looked at Tony Orlando's age. He's only 78.
78, right? 78?
He felt like he was like 40 when we were kids.
Do you imagine Tony, I was talking to Tony about this. He got canceled off. There was only four major stations, ABC, CBS, NBC, and your little PBS station back then. He got canceled with 34 million viewers. They canceled the Tony Orlando show. Just think about that. 34 million viewers. I mean, they canceled his show. And he had like Jackie Gleason, Sinatra, Tony, all these guys on his show every week. Just talked to Tony yesterday. But going back into John, he's doing a 24-hour show. This is just great gambling stories. And going back to what Steve said, that is so important. And it's what media is missing. I don't want to hear analytics and you trying to talk and out your pores. Your the brains are pouring out your pores.
Hey, wait a second.
I don't want to hear that all the time. I want to hear old gambling stories and relatable things that are fun listening things. So thank you, Steve. I'm not trying to put things down. I'm not saying there is a time and place for that stuff.
Oh yeah,
everyone wants winners.
Yeah.
There is a time and place for that kind of stuff. But the gambling stories are fun to tell.
We do it all here.
Yeah, no, they're fun to relive. I don't know if anyone else on, other people on the network will do it, but it's a fun thing to do.
It's
everyone
phenomenal.
Steals everything from me everywhere. Go ahead, you guys, next show, steal it. I don't care. But
you.
No, it's fun.
Yeah, no, it's give everybody a sense of, besides the podcast, you do Wisecracks with John Orlando. Yep. You also do the Fox show. You still doing it?
Fox on the weekends. It just ended. We had a countdown to kickoff. However, last night went to dinner with some of the Fox guys that came in town, renewed already, which is great, for August. This is going to sound crazy. I don't want to sound bad about it, but even though it was only 3 hours a week on Sundays, there was a lot. I did a lot of prep for it. It was the middle of the football season. It's a pleasure to be off. Does that make sense?
I think we all – we love football.
Yeah.
It is the life and blood of what we do.
Yeah.
But yes,
it's nice to be off.
Yes, it's nice to focus on March Madness.
And I was doing like 9-10 different shows a week during football season. It's nice to be off. And since everyone else gets to talk about their gambling site, crackwins.com. Sorry.
Bill.
Okay, there you go.
All right. We almost got through it.
Boom.
Bill Krakenberger.
Sports betting, there you go.
We've done all week, too. The Lombardi line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.